So there's this tree at the Grand Canyon. No big deal, right? There are lots of trees at the Grand Canyon. But this tree, a ponderosa pine, which has, by the way, died, has become a kind of park legend, mainly because it seems it's not supposed to be able to grow where it set down roots. Guidebook writer and Grand Canyon guide Tyler Williams wanted to see it for himself. He writes about his experience in the January edition of Arizona Highways magazine. And Tyler, how exactly did you first come to hear about this tree?
I heard about this tree from, I don't even know who it was anymore. It was a river guide. You know, some of these things are just kind of bantied about, I think, sort of around the campfire. There's a ponderosa pine right above Horn Creek Rapid. And it was like, what? No way is there a ponderosa pine growing there. So I'd heard this rumor. And so I'd always look for this tree in that section of river right below Phantom Ranch. And it's kind of a tricky section to look for a tree because Horn Creek is, as I mentioned in the story, it's, I think, the most intimidating downstream view in the whole canyon. The river just disappears into this mist below you and the walls of schist are coming down precipitously. And so to look up for a pine tree there, you're pretty focused on the river at that point. But eventually, finally, one trip, I saw it. I saw the silhouette of a pine tree up there by the rim and I got my binoculars on it. And sure enough, it looked like a pine tree.
At that point, how sure that you had actually seen it, that it wasn't like some kind of mirage in the middle of the Grand Canyon?
I wasn't 100% sure because it's only visible for a few seconds as you could get a view up this gully. And there's other places in the canyon where you see pine trees high, not on the ultimate rims, but, you know, on a mid-range rim, that look like ponderosa pines, and they usually turn out to be pinyon pines, which isn't so out of character. And so I wasn't sure if it was maybe a really tall pinyon pine. So that's why I wanted to hike down there and see for myself.
Now, in your article, there's a photo of this tree, and I think you are in the photo as well. Mm-hmm. And around it, all you really see are rocks and, like, scrub brush, like kind of what you'd see in the deserts around mm-hmm. Phoenix. What is it about this particular area that makes a ponderosa pine tree so unusual?
Well, that's just it. I mean, there's nothing that would indicate a ponderosa pine growing in this area. And it wasn't until we actually got, photographer Bill Hatcher and I spotted the tree from the rim of the Tapeats sandstone, and then we made our way to the base of the tree. And it wasn't until we'd been there for some time that I decided to probe around in the sandstone cliff behind the tree. And I was just really looking for shade for myself. We were there in August, I think. And there was this cold air pouring out of the Tapeats formation. And that cold air really seemed to just drain right down onto where this pine tree was growing. And it's a reasonable assumption, I guess, from other scientists I've talked to make that water follows the same drainage pattern. So not only is runoff funneled towards this tree, but then cool air is also funneled to this tree and the area around it. And so, you know, it's just this unique little microhabitat in the canyon that exists. And it's also in the shade of the Tapeats cliff there. So it grew in, you know, pretty cool conditions for most of its life.
Was this a difficult area for you to hike down to? I mean, is it fairly remote, fairly rugged area?
Yeah, it's not that far from the Bright Angel Trail. So it's not, as Grand Canyon destinations go, it's not a terribly remote location. But we did have to scramble off the trail, get out to the rim, and kind of get right up to the edge of the rim before we spotted the tree. And then there was a route that we knew of that got through the Tapeats formation near there, and then we were able to follow a bighorn sheep trail along the base of the cliff over to the tree.
At the risk of going all philosophical on you, I'm wondering if you see this tree both in life and in death as a metaphor or as a symbol for something else.
Well, it certainly was a survivor. It certainly did, you know, find its niche in the most unlikely of habitats, and we can extrapolate whatever metaphors we want from that. I think scientifically, too, that it was out of place 150 years ago, the chances of an anomaly like this existing in the present and future climate, which we're now entering, are even less. You know, who's to say that you can really finger climate change as this tree's demise? It was 150 years old, but foresters who I've spoken to said that it was probably a few years ago when we had back-to-back dry, hot years that really did this tree in. So I was hoping to get there before it died, because I think the first time I spotted it, it was still alive. But we didn't quite make it.
It almost sounds like this tree was kind of your, like, great white whale, that you had heard about it, you kept trying to find it, and then you finally did see it, but you weren't quite sure if that's what it was, and then you finally got there, and it was already dead.
Yeah, definitely. I was bummed to see that it was dead initially, but as I came to know the tree over the course of the afternoon and the morning we spent there, you know, there's all this other life, as I mentioned, in the right around that tree, growing in that same little microhabitat of greenery, and it was all thriving. And there's a pinyon pine growing right next to this ponderosa too that seems to be thriving, and it's somewhat out of place as well. But it looks like it's going to have a good long life. And yeah, you know, it was sad that the tree had died, but that's life, right? And it's kind of interesting that it actually, the tree grew to beyond the rim, grew out of the shade of the Tapete sandstone, and I think it had been beyond the shade that had nurtured it in its youth for some time. But it was kind of like, yeah, the tree's compelled to grow, and then once it grows beyond the shade, it's compelled to exist in this habitat where it has no business. And so it's just kind of the natural course of things, you know.
Tyler Williams is a writer of guidebooks, a freelance writer, a guide of rivers in the Grand Canyon. His piece called Growing, Growing, Gone is in the January edition of Arizona Highways Magazine. Tyler, thanks a lot.
Oh, thanks for having me.